Well, the scripture card that you received, and again, the worship was just amazing, wasn't it? But it was very interesting that it had a weeping willow on it. And that is something that is so close and dear to my heart, something that the Lord used in my life when I went through my first real hard trial, personally. And so I'm just going to read Galatians 6:14 through 16, and then we'll pray. It said, "But God forbid that I should boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world has been crucified to me, and I to the world. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything, but a new creation. And as many as walk according to this rule, peace and mercy be upon them and upon the Israel of God." Lord, we thank you. We thank you so much that it is you that made peace with us when we are warring against you, God. And this fruit of the Spirit came from the tree that was made into a cross, Lord. And as you hung there, that's when the fruit of the Holy Spirit was being given to us. And we thank you so much for that picture. We thank you for the promise, and we thank you for the peace that it can bring us no matter what is going on in our lives, around our world, and in our own hearts, the things that we wrestle with. And so I pray, God, that you would just fill my mouth with all that you have for these women, for me, and that we would walk out of here with that assurance that we can have peace no matter what is happening, and that we have the only peace, the true peace that the world needs, and that you would allow us to share that and give it out. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, if you remember last year, I had bitterness. So now I'm at peace. So when Robin said, pray about, you know, the Spirit, which fruit you'll do. And I thought, okay. And it was not peace at all. When she said, I said what I thought it was, and she said, "Oh, I thought peace." And I thought, "Oh, you got the wrong person." And then she said, "It's not what I see in each one of you. I'm not giving it to you because of that. I'm giving it to you because that's what the Lord is showing me to give to you." And so right away, I have to look up this word. And it's interesting because I Googled peace, and I was like, really? The first thing that pops up, and right under it, is John Lennon and his wife, you know, and the peace sign, and I thought, wow. So then I Googled quotes on peace, and I didn't even write them down, but the one that I'll never forget, it said, "There is no peace, pursue it." And I was like, what? And then I realized the world has no peace. And then it said things like, you have to have the peace from within. And I don't know about you, but I don't have peace within. It's turmoil and war in my mind. And I just thought, wow, it's so sad. And thank God for the cross. Thank God that, you know, we have been saved by the grace of God, because that's where the peace is. And then I realized the Christian is the only one that has peace. And we, if we don't live in that, how can the world see that? So when I looked it up, it said that it's freedom from war or hostilities. It's free from mental disturbances. It's an agreement between contending parties to abstain from further hostilities. Make one's peace, to effect reconciliation for oneself or for another person. And that's exactly what God did for us. And then I thought, well, what do I think peace is? And for me, over the last year and a half, almost 2 years now, it has really become an unexplainable calm and surrender in the midst of uncontrollable and unknown events of life, as we securely rest in the finished work of the cross and the freedom from God's wrath through the gospel. And as I've been sitting in church over the last couple weeks, I just thought, wow, Pastor Brian's just been confirming and confirming, and everything just seems to be weaving all together, and it was just so exciting. And so I thought, well, what's the antonym for peace? And when, of course, it's said war. And I thought of James right away. And it says, "Where do wars and fights come from among you? Do they not come from your desires for pleasure that war in your members?" And then I'm just going to read this to you. It's Ephesians 2, 1 through 7. "And you he made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among who also we all once conducted ourselves in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up together, and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness towards us in Christ Jesus." So how can we boast in anything except the cross of Christ when we realize that we were the objects of God's wrath, that we were children of wrath, and it was the cross that made us not an object of wrath, that Jesus took that cup of wrath and he drank it on our behalf? Well, the first thing I want to talk about is peace with God, but it comes from him. And then peace in our circumstances, and that we have peace with one another. So when I looked at that weeping willow, it just stirred up right away a word that a woman had given to me years ago. When I was going through something that, it was the first trial, you know those trials where you think, who can I share with? And God says, me. And he kind of isolates you to himself. And I remember I went to my first Joyful Life, the women's retreat, because I didn't even know there was a women's Bible study here until I started being a teacher here. And Linda Huffman took me. And I remember all I was going with is, I just want to know that you see me. I want to know that you know what I'm going through, like he forgot. But and then she came to me and she gave me this, she says, "You know, God's given me a word for you, Michelle, and I want to know if I can share it." And she proceeds to share from Psalm 1, but she said, "But you're like a weeping willow." And all of a sudden, I just thought, that's what I feel like. And I love that picture that she drew with the weeping willow and the tree and the little stream. And I thought, that is like, if you were going to get away, that is the perfect picture of peace. So I looked up weeping willows, and I just, this is so cool. So we have peace with God, but weeping willows are a place of refuge, their covering, and their protection. And the foundation of peace is the gospel. It's not only the gift of salvation, but it's the very core of our everyday existence. I found this cool quote by John Stott. It said, "Divine love triumphed over divine wrath by divine sacrifice. We are free from God's wrath." If you don't have peace in anything else, you have to come back to that, that we were the objects of his wrath, and that because of what he sent his son to die for us, we are no longer the objects of God's wrath. We have peace with God because he made peace possible. I thought peace is like a balance beam, and the very heart of this whole book in Galatians is that the Galatians were getting off their balance beam, and they were starting to fall to the side of allowing pastors and teachers coming in and heaping up legalism upon them. So don't war against freedom. Don't fall off your balance beam of peace into condemnation or legalism, because it gets you off the road that you saw that first time you got saved, was the cross, and you start thinking you need to do more or you've never done enough, and you fall off that balance beam. You know, there is the enemy, and he wants to rage war in our mind. He wants us to doubt our salvation. He wants to condemn us, and he wants to keep us isolated away from the freedom that we have in the cross. So peace came through the gospel of peace, which it's called in Romans 10, and the peace, Prince of Peace, he's called in Isaiah. So to be spiritually minded is life and peace. So not only did God give us peace through his Son, but he also allows us to function in the peace through the power of the Holy Spirit. So don't allow the enemy to rage war in that truth, When he comes, and when he comes, because he will come, and says that you're not worthy, you remember the cross and say, no, that's the point of the cross. And when you're walking in your Christianity and you blow it, remember that when Jesus was on the cross, he said, it is finished. And my husband has started asking all the teens that we've come in contact over the last 5 years now, he always says, were you alive when Jesus died on the cross? Well, then he died before he knew all the stuff that was going to go on in your life. He said, it is finished. And I have tried to instill in the first graders that I've had those very things. And I'm trying to live in light of that myself. When I get up in the morning, before I even get out of bed, I try to remind myself, Jesus loves me. It was the very foundation that Robin laid, that Jesus loves us, and that we can walk in victory of knowing who we are in Christ. And then when we blow it at the end of the day and we lay our heads down on the bed, we can remember that he said, it is finished, and let it go. Repent and confess and, you know, get prayer from sisters. So I want to ask you a question. Do you trust that the cross was enough? So I looked up trust. And it means reliance on integrity, justice of a person or on some quality or attribute of a person, confidence in the ability or intention of a person. So we have to ask ourselves, do I trust the integrity of God? Do I trust that he's just, that he has some quality or attribute, an ability that I can trust that the cross was enough to cover up my sin? And so I'm going to read a couple passages, and then we'll go on to the next. But this is just remembering what God has done for us. So in Romans 5, 1 through 11, it says, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand and rejoice in hope of glory of God. And not only that, but we also glory in tribulation, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, perseverance character, character hope, and now hope does not disappoint because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who is given to us. For when we were still without strength in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely a righteous man will one die, yet perhaps for a good man someone would even dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love towards us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from the wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his son, much more having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only that, but we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received the reconciliation. I love that. I mean, that's it. You know, it's, you'll find the gospel woven through all scripture. And so you have to cling to these, write them down. I started writing down a bunch of these, and I'm hanging them on my walls and my cupboards. When I open up my cupboards, I'm seeing scripture, and because I need to remember these things every day, because I don't always feel like I have peace with God, you know. So we can't trust our feelings. We need to fall back on truth, because sometimes our feelings feel like truth, but they're not. And in Colossians 1:20, it says, and by him to reconcile all things to himself, by him, whether things on earth or things in heaven, having made peace through the blood of his cross. So, if we have that picture of the weeping willow, he's our covering, he's our protection, and we have peace with God, then we so easily forget that when trials come and tribulations or things happen and our eyes get off that and we think and we say things like, does God even see me? Does he even love me? I feel forgotten. And trust me, I've felt like this over the last year. So, but then I looked at the other thing about a weeping willow, and we're going to talk about peace in our circumstances. And it said a weeping willow can grow in all kinds of soil, and it shows tolerance in drought. So God went to great lengths to make peace with us. So don't allow the enemy to rage a war in your mind Put on the full armor of God. Put on that helmet of salvation. We always have to come back to the cross, the joy of our salvation, as Ruth shared last week. You know, we always say that peace of mind. And we don't have peace of mind if we focus on our circumstances and our situations and things like that. But in Philippians 4:4-7, it says, "Rejoice in the Lord always." Again, I will say rejoice, and I'm sure you're like, oh, I know that verse. But listen, "Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding," do you know this verse? "will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." My anchor, this has been woven through my walk since the day I got saved, is Isaiah 26:3-4. And it's such a great promise. And I do forget it. And then every single time a trial comes, the Lord gives this to me. It's always the first verse that he gives to me, because he knows that I always say spiritual warfare doesn't necessarily come to me in like the material world of getting sick and things like that, because I have my own war going on in my mind. And it says, "You will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you, because he trusts in you. Trust the Lord forever, for in Yah the Lord is everlasting peace." So if the God of the universe and the Creator went to great lengths to make peace with us by sending his Son to die for us, then don't think that when a trial and a circumstance, and there's so many things that come in our lives, you know, our marriages, children, school, friends, death of loved ones, moves, financial difficulties, your jobs. I mean, we can have the list go on and on and on and on. And those things can consume our minds and our thoughts. And we don't cling to Scripture. We don't run to it the way we should. We don't remember and reflect and meditate upon Calvary. We lose sight of the gospel in our situations. So for me, it just gives me freedom, and I hope it gives you freedom, that we can also trust God's ways, and we can trust his sanctification process in our life, even though we don't understand it sometimes. We may not like it, and to be honest, sometimes we really want to just fight against it because we want our way. I realized as I was going through my little situation over these last couple years almost, I was watching my daughter, and she was huffing around one day because she wasn't getting her way, and she's pouting, and I thought, oh, gosh, it's just so ugly. That is so ugly. And I looked, and the Lord said, "That's you." I was like, oh, no. And I knew exactly what it was. I was not letting go of what I wanted, and I was clinging to it, and I was pouting, and I thought, wow, you know. And so watch your kids, because sometimes we think, oh, you know, they're just, it's the enemy. But they're little reflections of us. It's like little mirrors walking around, you know. And so God will use them to minister to us. So trials and testings in life, they will come. And they usually come in the form of your family and sometimes your closest friends. And so you have to put that helmet on, and you have to remember who you are in Christ. We need to stay gospel-centered. We need to live a life in light of what has been done for us. Because when that war starts to rage, we could give ground to the enemy in our mind, and we don't want to do that. And in Philippians 4:4, it says, "No one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who enlisted as a good soldier." So if God is for us, who can be against us? And if we sing the battle belongs to the Lord, then why do we always try to grab everything and do our own fighting? We have to remember that we are more than conquerors in Christ, and we need to rest in that. And because we have peace with God and we can have peace in our circumstances, that means that we can have peace with one another. And the weeping willow, it also adapts to all kinds of soil and growing conditions. They even help prevent soil erosion. And so I thought, I wonder what the synonyms for peace are. Unity, accord, love, friendship, and this is probably one of my favorite but most challenging, silent. I thought, wow. And then peaceable means inclined to avoid strife or dissension. Since the day I got saved, I've always been so burdened for when I see what Molly was sharing about the biting and the devouring of one another. It grieves me to no extent when I see, because I don't know about you, but those of you that have kids, there's nothing worse than when your kids are fighting with each other. It's just, as a mom, it's just grieving, especially when it goes on and on and on all day, you know, when you have to send them to their rooms. And I think, how does that feel for God? How does it affect him when he said that, you know, the world, they will know you by your love for one another. And if we're not loving one another, if we don't have that fruit, then how are they going to see the joy that we possess and peace that we can have too? Peace with God frees us to have full identity in Christ alone, knowing that we are loved and that we're forgiven, we're pardoned, that there's no judgment, we're not children of wrath anymore. This can rid us of jealousy and envy and pride and, you know, just bitterness, strife, expectations from one another, wants from people that they can't give us. It allows us to be free to love each other with all our quirks and all our weirdnesses and just look past it. It gives us freedom to walk in that. Our identity should not be in our friends and our school and our clothes and, you know, what we drive and where we work and what church we go to. Our identity should be in Christ alone. And that's when Paul said, is there anything I should boast in except the cross? We always boast of the cross. You know, it always comes back to that. So don't allow the enemy to come in and wage war within the body of Christ. I heard this saying, and it's so sad, but it's been said that Christians are the only ones that shoot their wounded. And when I heard that, it just, oh, and I thought it's so true. And working with teens, I saw that a lot. You know, there would be this time where the kids that were doing so well and then the kids that would start to struggle, or maybe they'd listen to, you know, a secular song or whatever, and then all the other kids would start pulling away from them instead of grabbing hold of them, restoring them, praying with them, sharing their concerns with them. And then all of a sudden, these kids would start feeling like they were less. And, you know, and we can do that to one another as grown women as well. I always told the teen girls, it doesn't change. We just get older and we restrain it a little bit better, right? And so if we don't cultivate that peace with one another, it's just going to rip the body of Christ apart. And in Romans 12:18, it says, if it is possible, and it is because it says, with God all things are possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. So we are free to be peace with one another because of what God has done for us. And if God has done that for us, then how can we give any less to one another when we're wronged and we're hurt? And sometimes we feel like, well, they, you know, they backstabbed me or they did this. And, well, you know, Jesus went through all that. I don't know if you remember that long list I gave you last year. So go back and look from Gethsemane to the cross, and you'll see every single one of Jesus' friends and disciples left him. He knows what you're going through. He knows. So get your eyes off of each other. You know, and, oh, why did they get to do that? And she's doing this. And remember what Jesus said to Peter when he said, what is that to you? I hear that little Holy Spirit and the words, what is that to do with you? I'm like, oh, yeah, that's right. So in Ephesians 4:1-6, it says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called, with all lowliness and gentleness, with long-suffering, bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called in one hope of your calling. And then I'm going to read one more. In Colossians 3:13-15. Bearing with one another and forgiving one another, if anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. But above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to whom also you were called in one body, and be thankful. So, ladies, it always comes back to the cross. It always comes back to the peace that God made with us. We were doing whatever we wanted, whenever we wanted, however we wanted, and yet he died for us. And so when you receive that and you meditate on it and you try to live in light of that every single day, when the trials come, and they will come, you know, it said, like, don't think that some strange thing is happening to you. They're going to come. Testings will come. But remember that when God leads you out into that wilderness, it talks about this in Isaiah, that he leads you out into that wilderness, but he gives you manna that you do not know. He's feeding us and sustaining us with things that we're not even aware of. It's hindsight when we look back that we'll go, oh, that was God, and oh, that one person that came my way. And I'll tell you, for me personally, I felt like, you know, my husband and I and my kids, we were kind of on this high of just everything was just so great. And then something happened, and it literally felt like somebody came and ripped the rug out from underneath us. And I just felt like I was laying flat on my back looking up, and I'm like, what just happened? Nothing made sense. And we didn't know what was going on, where we were going to go, what we were doing, where the kids were going to go to school. I mean, everything was a trial. And then God just started doing things. But he was doing things that I didn't necessarily like or even want him to do. And I was fighting. And it wasn't until I got my eyes back on the simplicity that Jesus loves me. He died for me. He's not going to just do this. He's not mean. He's a good God. And if it's his goodness that gives us these things, and it's only his goodness that allows to take them away sometimes, to remove them out of our lives. So rest in that. And if God made peace with us, then we have to learn how to make peace with one another. And, you know, you can't always reconcile. That takes two or more. But you can forgive. You can forgive. But reconciliation, don't confuse those two, because it takes two people to reconcile something. But you can forgive. You can ask God that the forgiveness that he's given you. So I don't know about you, but I know who I am apart from the Lord. And if he can forgive me, it's always what allows me to forgive others. Because there have been times where I feel like I just want to wipe my hands of people. I've had enough of that one. That's it. You know, I've done my 70 times 7 thing. But, you know, God always says to me, Michelle, I would never wipe my hands of you. And so I have to rest in that. So be free to be vulnerable with one another. You don't have to be fake and put walls up and pretend that you're something you're not. You know, this whole thing with Robin exhorting us to pray with one another after this, it's so important. I mean, you can come and pray with us, but, you know, you're all sisters in Christ, so lean on each other. So I want to read Psalm 1:3 because it promises, before that, it promises that if we steer away from sin and that if we delight and abide in the Word of God, then it promises that he shall be like a tree, that's us, planted by the rivers of water, that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. So I want you to remember those things about the weeping willow. All those things that God's done for us, we can do for one another. We can protect and cover one another. We can get each other through drought. And we can keep our soil and the body of Christ from eroding and falling apart. One of the pastor's wives back in New Jersey, she always said this, and I just thought, wow, it's so perfect for this. She said, the trees with the most fruit hang lowest to the ground. And it's a picture of humility. And I was talking to Robin yesterday, and I said, you know, it's so cool. Every time I think about this, I think of that tree in the book of Revelation. Remember how it has a different fruit every month? I'm like, I'm so excited for that tree. I wish I had one of those trees. But I thought, this fruit of the Spirit comes from one tree, the cross, and all this different fruits on one. And each one of us, if we stay planted and we abide in the Word of God and we cling to the cross, you know that song that you love and you cling to the old rugged cross? And if we do that, then we can be that tree and we will have all those different fruits coming off of us because we're just abiding. So I wanted to encourage the teenagers and the young adults, because I do have such a heart for you all, that you would rest in the gospel and you'll be patient. As you grow in the Lord, you will bear fruit in due season. So be patient with yourself, and new believers too, and women. And I realized when I wrote this, I'm like, I think I'm falling into that area now. I'm like, I'm becoming one of the older women. Don't let your fruit go bad. Pass it on to the next generation. Let them eat of it. Disciple them. Pour out to them. I'm so excited when I see them come up here, and I see, you know, I got to spend the evening with a couple of the teens the other night, and I just love it. It just brings me to life. And don't miss out on that. They have something to pass on to us and keep us into the reality of what this world is really turning into. And I'll tell you, those kids, they don't have peace. They need peace. So I just want to exhort you to cling to that old rugged cross so that you can say too, like we sing in that hymn, it's my favorite hymn, that it is well with my soul, knowing that you are free from the wrath of God because Jesus drank from that cup freely for you and for me. Be a peacemaker. Matthew 5:9 said, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons or daughters of God. So I just want to pray, and then I'm going to invite, you know, the women to come up and pray, and we'll have some more worship, but I do encourage you to pray with one another. Turn around, and if you see somebody hurting, just pray for them. You don't need to know exactly what's going on, and, you know, just pray. Just pray over them. So, Lord, we thank you. We praise you, for you are so faithful to us. We thank you, God, for the cross. We thank you for the gospel. We thank you that it not only saves us and promises this, that we can go to heaven, but it gives us the power through the Holy Spirit to live our life for your namesake, for your glory, that we wouldn't get so caught up in, I just want to get out of this place. I want to go home. That we forget that we are here for a reason, for such a time as this. That we would magnify your name, that we would glorify you through our trials, that we would tell people that we're hurting and we're sad, but we just have a peace that surpasses all understanding because we know that what we deserved was wrath and judgment, and so nothing can be as bad as that. And we thank you that you want peace in your body, that we as your daughters would be good sisters to one another, that we would encourage each other while it's called today, that we would speak to each other in spiritual hymns and drop notes and make phone calls and text and whatever it is, Lord God. Just be glorified in your body. May the world see peace in us that it cannot find anywhere and they can't even explain it, Lord. We thank you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.